This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. The Gardening Show is live, so you can give us a call if you'd like, or we are also on Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. We do have some plants in the screen we'll talk about in a little bit, but good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Igor.
Well, how are you?
I'm good. Good, yeah.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, I thought I'd talk about houseplants this week. That's one of the most taken for granted and neglected class of plants there is. But there's an interesting story with them. And it's said that the more houseplants you have in your home, the better you'll be both physically and mentally. And they can improve your respiratory system, complexion, even help your furniture and wall coverings and carpets last longer.
Your carpets, too?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How?
Let me carry on.
Oh,
here.
My goodness. Yeah. My interest is intrigued.
One of the longest lived and largest plants on record was what we call now a houseplant. That's a Dracaena, or the dragon tree. And from Central America, there was one that was said to have been 10,000 years old and was extremely tall. And it finally blew down in a big storm. Their circumference was 50 feet around, and to the very first branch was 60 feet up in the air. So it was a super large plant. And plants can do that, and even archaeologists have found way back in time, maybe trees and plants grew much, much larger than they are today. A good one in that respect is the club moss that we like to collect around Christmas time. It's a short-growing ground cover, 6-8 inches tall, but at one time, way back in our history, millions of years ago, they were trees, but they've shortened themselves. And long ago in evolutionary history, cactus had leaves, and they still do in the seedling stage. If you plant a cactus seed, when it first starts to grow, it will have leaves, and then eventually it'll shed all those leaves and become like the cactus we know today with the spines or thorns all over it. And there are some 2,000 known cactus species ranging from 1 inch to over 50 feet, and another 6,500 other types of cactus, water storing succulents and cactus. They're a very interesting plant, the cactus. And a lot of cactus are from America. One particular one that we can grow right here in Bradford called the prickly pear. At one time, it was only known in America. Now they have taken it other parts of the world and uses it a planting too. But it's indigenous to America only. That's the prickly pear. Neat little cactus. Flat pads it has. Usually blooms in a big yellow blossom and then produces a fruit that some people in the holidays love to have that fruit on their table. That's a neat one, and it can become a ground cover planted around here in a well-drained area, of course, and it can spread quite quickly and be a very unusual-looking type of plant. Some things you should do on a regular basis with your house plants is to water them from above once in a while. Now, what I mean by above is watering it on the top, not filling the saucer with water. That's okay to do that once in a while, but sometimes you have to water from above to let that water go down through the soil. As it's going down through, it's flushing out some of the salts from fertilizers that may have still be there. And it's also pulling oxygen down into the soil, which your houseplants, all plants, need desperately.
At first, I thought you meant from above, like, you know, if you put it on the leaves and then let it trickle down. I'm like, well, it'll probably go outside of the, like, on the fat-leaved ones. So the water, it's like an umbrella.
Yeah.
So, but you mean just put it in the dirt from above.
Yeah, from above.
Yeah, okay.
But it's also a good idea once in a while to get all the leaves wet, too, to wash off the dust that we may have in the house. So water from above once in a while to flush out the soil. Fertilize about twice a month from March to September. That's when most houseplants are going through a growth spurt. We don't really want to fertilize them in the wintertime because they're not really actively growing, so that fertilizer can build up in the soil and start to cause damage. So only fertilize them from March to September. And another thing we want to do is always inspect them for pests or problems. That's just constantly, you know, anytime we water them or fertilize them, we should check on top of the leaves, under the leaves, check the stems for anything that looks unusual. And most of those pests are extremely easy to get rid of, a lot of them. We can put them in the shower or, if weather permits, take them outdoors and give them a good blast of the garden hose. That'll knock most of the pest off.
I think I've in my younger years, I was one of those pests. I think a lot of kids are the pests. You blast them with the garden hose, they leave your plants alone too.
True.
I remember putting the old fingernail trick. How hard can I press on this leaf until I pierce it? And then you have little fingernail size little brown spots and holes in your leaves.
Boy, you got a good point. You know, a blast from the hose really can calm a lot of people down, you know? let's see. So shower it regularly to keep the dust off and maybe some of the pests. But always keep checking for pests that kind of linger. Most of them are very easy to take care of if you spot them soon enough and get the proper material to treat it with.
Are pests usually like the flying variety, like gnats or anything like that? Should you be concerned about?
Yeah, you should.
Like fruit flies.
You know, but they're telling you, the gnats and fruit flies, is that your soil is probably waterlogged.
Ah.
You've been watering too much. So that's a good sign. So let the soil dry out. Just about any plant. Let the soil dry out between waterings. And you won't have that problem. But if you do, then a little dish of vinegar beside that plant, they'll all be attracted to that vinegar and jump in there and die. So that can be easy. But there are other treatments, too, to get rid of those fungus gnats. I know a lot of people have that because a lot of us overwater. Which I got to get off subject now.
What did I do?
No. Because scientists are just now discovering, and this kind of amazes me, that maybe the rainforest are going to be all right, even though we are having a lack of precipitation throughout the world. This goes back a long time ago. Me and my wife got to visit out in Arizona, that monstrous greenhouse that they built in the 60s, to see if man could live inside a greenhouse that someday we may put on another planet, you know. And the experiment didn't really work out well for other reasons. It would have worked out well, but in areas of that greenhouse, and I'm talking about huge, huge greenhouse, they poured a lot of cement, and cement off gases for a lot of years, and that off gassing affected the plant material in there, so it didn't grow like they wanted it to. Now it's all calmed down, you know, 30, 40 years later, and the plants grow very well in there. But
so the experiment worked in a sense that they found that out.
Yeah.
That's why you do it here, so you don't fail on Mars or
that's
wherever
right.
you're going to build the
yeah.
thing. Like, oh, we got to wait like a couple decades until it's done off-gassing.
Yes.
Who knew that that was a thing from cement?
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we know.
That, well, the scientists just... They probably knew, but
yeah,
didn't think
always,
about it.
Always something that slips through the cracks. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot.
Like, I know in this huge greenhouse, there's a lot of different rooms. And in one room, there's a tropical forest there. And one of their experiments was they were going to start shutting down the water, give it less and less water to see how the plants would react. And I was just amazed that they didn't know how the plants would react. And my wife was edging me on saying, say something. but I didn't. I was too bashful. I mean, these were botanists and horticulturists, the top of the food chain. They were the best in the world doing this. So I didn't want to say, hey, you idiots. so that now we do know that, because we see it in the Amazon, that as the rain decreases, the plants adjust to it. But more so, the bigger plants can adjust quicker than the smaller plants. So the bigger plants are getting bigger, and the smaller plants are getting smaller. Because the bigger plants, of course, have a bigger root system and more leaves, so they're catching more of the rain and making it less available for the smaller plants. But it's not destroying the rainforest. It's and like I said, the plants are adjusting to the lack of rainfall. So what was I talking about?
Well, I mentioned fruit flies, and then somehow
that
ended up with that story.
and then another thing you want to do with your house plants, I always get off on a tangent. Repot them from once in a while. And you always... Just go up, if you got a 4-inch pot, just go up to 5 or 6 inch. Do not go from a 4-inch pot to a 10 or a 12-inch pot, because then that's too much soil and it makes it very easy for you to overwater, because you'll try to get all that soil wet and that's just too much for that plant. And then you're going to get the fruit flies and the gnats and probably some root rot even. So when you transplant, only go up one size at a time, and your plant will be very thankful for that. Of course, good housekeeping is pretty important, too. Well, a lot of times a plant's going to shed a leaf every now and then, or a flower, and it's going to land on the soil in there, and we want to keep them cleaned out because they can become moldy and fungus, and, of course, that can affect the whole plant. Because there can be even an invisible layer on top of the soil that's a fungal layer that will block gases from coming out of the soil and air from going into the soil. They have a term for that, and I can't remember it. So once in a while, even just kind of scratch the surface of the soil there, that can break up that fungal layer and make the soil breathe. The soil is a living thing too. Your plant's a living thing, the soil is too, and it has to breathe. So once in a while, scratch that surface so it can breathe. The flowering house plants, just about all of them are going to need light and cool night temperatures. So when you put it by a window, that you're doing a good thing, because it is going to feel that change of temperature. And that's what we call it. With most houseplants, it will initiate flowering. Now, there are some houseplants that don't need the cold nights, but most of them do.
I see this one's attempting to grow a little flower right here.
Yeah.
To be honest. So we'll talk about that one after we take our break from Worth W. Smith.
Okay.
But if you wanted to finish your thought here first.
Well, that was it for that thought.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's take a short break.
Sure.
And then we'll talk about what you brought in and And to get to the rest of the notes, we're talking about houseplants today. If you have a question about that or any other subject, really, you can give us a call, 814-368-9372, or leave a comment on our Facebook live stream right now, facebook.com/WESB1075. Back in 30, from The Gardening Show, B107.5 FM.
You know it's coming. That colder weather is on the way. Make sure you're ready with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. It's not too early to start stocking up on wood pellets for your heating stove. If it's time to replace your pellet stove, see Worth W. Smith for their line of quality Harman stoves. You'll also find a big selection of stove pipes and other heating supplies in stock. And don't forget the antifreeze for your RV. Be prepared for the weather ahead. If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM. And we have a phone call. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Morning. I have a question. Not house plants. Hopefully I don't get off subject. For years I've grown broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. Now whenever it grows, I can't get, all I get is plant. I don't get any heads or produce out of it.
Yeah, I can understand that, especially this time of year. Those three plants love cool weather. So this has been a really hot, dry summer. And those plants, I can understand, they just don't want to produce a fruit because of the heat and the dryness. I wouldn't give up on them. You know, next year will probably be different. Or maybe a little later in the season, They'll finally give you some something to eat there then.
Well, this is more than 1 year that has happened. And one greenhouse told me maybe too much nitrogen.
Oh, yeah, that's a good possibility. Yeah, and a lot of people like to really fertilize the bejeepers out of their vegetable garden. And that can be a big mistake because that's going to just encourage more leaves and more growth and not the fruit or the vegetable that we're looking for.
No, maybe that's the case then.
Yeah, it could very well be.
Okay.
And, you know, early in the spring, you can fertilize to get your plants a good head start, but then start to really shut it down slowly, give them less and less until, you know, we're getting this time of year, there shouldn't be any fertilizer at all in our vegetable garden. That will help help force the plants to bear fruit.
All right, I'll have to try that.
All right, hey,
yeah, thanks for your call. That's
right,
a good question.
You.
Have a great weekend. Bye bye. All right. So anyway, we're talking about. Then we thank you for the call.
Yes, like thank
we,
you.
We said it didn't matter about the you know, off topic or whatever. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So we're talking houseplants today, and
okay,
you did bring in some show and tell, so we are on Facebook Live if you want to take a look at what Bob brought in, but we'll explain it to you on the radio as well.
Okay, this first one here is what we call a prayer plant, a great house plant. They can accept a bright light or a low light, just most house plants can really, and makes a great house plant, continues to grow and enlarge. And at some point you can even divide it and you can make two of them that way. But this one in particular, this one's trying to flower and it has flowered a bit.
And I turned it to the camera. You can almost kind of see it. It's like really hard to see.
Yeah.
But this little guy right there.
But it's unusual for this prayer plant to do that. It must be just perfect conditions this year. So it is flowering a bit.
And does it usually stay this low? Because it's more of a low and wide kind of plant.
Yes. Yes, it always stays real low. And there are other varieties of prayer plant, too. Some of the old-fashioned ones, you'll notice why it's called prayer plant, is the leaves will fold up at night and then open up in the daytime. But some of these newer varieties have kind of lost that ability. You know, they're really man-made plants. They're made to look good all the time and have more color in their leaves. So they've kind of lost that ability to do what they're really supposed to do. But that's no big deal.
Now, if you want to describe the designs on the leaves, what are these? They're red, like what do they call those, veins?
Veins,
yep,
those are the veins. And then what we call intervenal, the the land between the veins is the leaf, really. That's what's doing all the photosynthesis. But those veins are what's giving it structure, just like our skeletons. So it holds the leaf in the right position to catch as much light as possible.
And I see two distinct different shades of green on there.
Yes, there is, yeah. And that's the darker the green, it's gathering a certain type of light, and the lighter green is gathering another certain type of light, because in light, you know, there's many different colors of light, blue light, red light, yellow light, all those that you see in the rainbow. And this leaf has made itself capable of collecting all the spectrum of light. Yeah, it's unusual for a plant.
So this is a prayer plant?
Prayer plant, okay. Yes. Another one is over here, this real colorful one, Rex begonia. They're a neat house plant. They will flower too, but very seldom. They're most known for their leaf color. And this particular one I brought in has this type of leaf color. They have large leaves.
Explain the color.
Color, yeah, it's a burgundy and then a kind of a blue-gray in there. And then back to burgundy on the edge. So many different colors, and of course that helps the plant either attract pollinators or, because it will flower, or to help collect the different spectrum of light. Now that this plant here is going to like a little less light, so it is kind of convenient for those people that don't want to put a plant right in the window. The Rex begonia will grow way away from the window. And then lastly is, this is called the snake plant, or it's also got a name of mother-in-law's tongue. This is a plant, if you're first starting out, this is a no-kill plant. You can't hurt it. You can abandon it and not water it for an extremely long period of time.
Very thick leaves.
Yes, very thick.
It's almost like aloe.
Yeah, yeah. And it will flower. It's very unusual for it to flower, but it will once in a while when it's real, what we call happy, and got all the things it needs. It will flower, but most of the time it's just this nice looking plant that takes very, very little care. Anybody that says they kill a plant, they should try a snake plant.
Snake plant.
Yeah, because, again, it's extremely hard to kill. The only way you could really harm it is by overwatering it. But for most of us, this is one of those plants, kind of like the cactus, that when you think it needs watering, just walk away from it because it probably doesn't. It does much, much better on dry-type soils.
How often do you need to change a soil, or is it just whatever it's in, that's it for the life?
No, and every plant's going to be a little bit different. You can tell when they start to get root-bound, too many roots for that container. You'll put water in the top, and it goes straight through. That's because there's so many roots and air spaces that, and when the plant starts to lift itself out of the pot, even it starts to go up, pushing itself out of the pot. That's when it needs repotted. And most houseplants, that's only going to be once every year, probably once every 2 or 3 years. Not real often.
So I guess you don't have to replace like the soil in the same pot. You just replace when you upgrade the pot.
Okay. Yeah, that's all really. Yeah. Now, if you've got an extremely old plant that has been sitting in different size pots for many, many, many years, decades, then it may benefit it to, when you take it out of the pot, to try and scrape some of that old soil off and then put new soil in. But that's only after they've become very, very old in your house.
Is that shocking at all to the plant?
Yeah, it'll shock it a bit,
yeah.
But then it'll adjust and become happy again and start growing. But at first, yeah, there'll be a shock, and you may lose a little bit of foliage. So be prepared for that. But it has to be done for some of those. You know, a good one is the jade plant. Some of those have been passed down from generation to generation. And sometimes we have to unpot it and try to scrape off as much soil as we can without going too crazy, and then put in the new fresh soil along the sides, on the bottom, and even a fresh layer on the top.
Okay. And what about, like, plant food?
Plant food, yeah. Plant food is not the same as what you would use in your garden. It's much, much weaker. It has a lot less nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium in it. And you have to be careful if you've got a nice house plant, but it seems to be outgrowing its space, maybe don't fertilize it quite so often. But if you got a nice young one that's actively growing and you want it to get bigger, then feel free to give it a little extra fertilizer.
So food is the same as fertilizer? Those are interchangeable?
Yeah. Okay. But houseplants usually have their own houseplant food. Now, in a pinch, if you have got some of your vegetable garden fertilizer left over, you can use that, but dilute it by, at least half, probably even more. So it's not so strong, because houseplants aren't growing as fast as those outdoor vegetable and flower plants are.
Now, do they need this food, or is sunlight and water usually?
No, they do need
they
food.
They do? Okay.
Yeah, they do need food, yes. So that's one of those other things, too, that, you know, you should set yourself up. You know, try to remember between March and September you're going to be fertilizing the plant. The rest of the year you're not going to fertilize it at all, just water it. So just try to remember that. If you see it putting on new leaves or flowers, that'd be a good time to fertilize, too. When it's actively growing is a good time to fertilize. If it's not actively growing, then hold off on the fertilizer, because the plant is telling you, I don't really need fed because I'm just kind of sitting here relaxing for a while.
All right. Very cool.
Yeah.
We got about 3 minutes left in the show.
Okay. And most houseplants can be grown by artificial light. So keep that in mind. You know, it's a lot of the houseplants don't need much light at all. But one of my favorite houseplants is the insectivorous or carnivorous plants. I'm really fascinated with them. You know, and everybody knows about the Venus flytrap.
Feed me Seymour.
Yeah, yeah. but there are many, many different types of insectivorous plants. And some of them can be grown outside. But they all need a tremendous, they're different from most houseplants. They do need a lot of water, and they like to grow in areas that are unfertile, where other plants can't grow because there's just not enough fertility there for them to grow, because their carnivorous plants are getting their fertility from insects, not from their roots spreading out and searching out food sources. So, keep that in mind. You know, you don't really want to fertilize insectivorous plants very much, very, very, very little. Matter of fact, most of mine, I never fertilize them because they are collecting bugs, and that's the way they're feeding that way. But they're fascinating. There's a lot of different shapes and different modes on how they attract and capture insects, and even some can attract and consume mice and frogs.
What?
And, oh, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
But most of them that we would be able to get around here are going to be collecting the insects, and so they can be beneficial. And a few of them, I've been lucky enough to find a few that can survive over winter outdoors in my pond, and they just get larger and larger. And it's just amazing to me how many insects they can collect. We used to always have a mosquito problem on our back deck. And ever since I've introduced these carnivorous plants, seems to have knocked that population way, way down.
No kidding. That's neat.
Yeah. So they're interesting. And some of them have different modes of collecting. One of them is called the bladder warts. Now, they just float around on water. And whenever one of those small creatures gets near, a bladder wart can suck them in. The insect doesn't have to land on the plant. That bladder wart has a system of how it can suck them in. And they've done tests on that to see how it works and how quickly. And it can be within 1/10 of a second that bladder wart will sense an insect and suck it in.
Wow.
And start feeding on it.
But these aren't house plants, though.
Well, they can be, yeah.
They can be.
Yeah, yeah. But that will have to be in a bowl of water.
Okay.
Or a terrarium or aquarium, something like that.
Wow, very cool. So we're out of time. Any last thoughts?
I guess not. No. There's many more of those insectivorous plants, but check on the internet or wherever you want, and maybe you'll be interested in it like I am.
Yeah, neat. All right. Hey, thanks for bringing in these house plants, and thanks
You're
for
welcome.
All the knowledge, as always. It's The Gardening Show, sponsored by Worth W. Smith. We will talk to you next time on B107.5 FM. Enjoy the weather. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.